First up, astronomers have found evidence of the universe's first stars from a period known as the Cosmic Dawn. And the signal isn't quite what they expected. Here's Lizzie Gibney with more.
For the first few hundred million years of its existence, the universe was a dark place. Only once electrons and protons had formed atoms of hydrogen, and hydrogen had clumped together, could the first stars begin to shine. So how can we study this long-ago era? Using a telescope to detect the very faint light from those first stars is extremely challenging. But physicists realise they might be able to detect early stars in a different way, through the impact that their light had on the hydrogen gas that still flooded into stellar space. That's what Judd Bowman and his colleagues set out to find.
Astronomers have been looking for evidence from this time for probably over a decade or two decades. This particular signal that we're trying to study is very hard to see because it's very faint. We're actually using radio waves to identify sort of the fingerprints of the first stars. So we're making an indirect observation where we're seeing the effect that stars had on primordial gas around them.
The team looked for a slight dip in the intensity of radiation known as the cosmic microwave background, an afterglow of the Big Bang itself. Energetic light from the first stars would have slightly changed the behaviour of the gas in the early universe, allowing it to absorb this radiation. That would create a tiny dip in the intensity of the radiation that should still be visible today. The trouble is that the frequency of this dip sits in the radio wave part of the electromagnetic spectrum, and so the faint signal would be easily drowned out by waves made much closer to home, from stars in our own galaxy, radio stations, and even digital television. Judd's team had to minimise and account for these sources, and when they did, remarkably, they saw a signal emerge. It was almost too good to be true, so the team then spent the next 2 years checking it was real.
Our first reaction when we started to see the signal in our data was a cautious sort of skepticism. And so after 2 years, we passed all of these tests and couldn't find any alternative explanation for the feature we were seeing in our data. And at that point, we actually started to feel a little excitement.
The U-shaped dip in radiation is tiny, but packs a wealth of information. The longer the light has been travelling across the universe, the more it is stretched. So the wavelength at which we first see the signal, the start of the dip, tells us when the first stars lived. That was at least 180 million years after the Big Bang. More than that, the end of the dip gives the point in time when the stars and galaxies had heated up the gas so much that the absorption signal stopped.
And so we see that happening less than 100 million years later, so by roughly 250 million years after the Big Bang. So that gives us two very important milestones in the history of the universe that we now have much more information on than we've had in the past.
Getting the first signal from these primordial stars is essential for understanding how later generations of stars formed, eventually culminating in planets and people. But the discovery also held a surprise.
So we've seen this feature, and it looked very much like we thought, except for one really big glaring exception. It occurs in the right part of the radio spectrum, but the size of the feature, the amplitude of it, is twice as big as we expected. And so that's very difficult to explain and requires possibly some new physics or some improvement in understanding of the universe to account for that larger than expected amplitude.
This inconsistency with the predicted results has got other physicists excited. His cosmologist, Renan Bakana, on how he felt when Judd showed him the signal.
I was actually quite amazed. Initially, I was skeptical. I wasn't sure. I mean, Judd was still making final checks. But I decided to take it seriously and treat it as an interesting puzzle. The timing of the signal fell within the right ballpark. But the amplitude was very, very surprising. And the signal was way bigger than all of that range, really. It was outside the range of possibilities. So that seemed very, very exciting.
According to Renan, the dip being much bigger than predicted suggests that the gas in the early universe may have been colder than expected.
And the question is, what could be even colder and actually cool it down? And then I realized that the only candidate is dark matter.
Dark matter is one of the biggest mysteries in physics. We think it exists because of its gravitational pull on visible matter, but it's never been seen. Renan says that because dark matter interacts with other matter only very rarely, this would have allowed it to stay cold, and particles of dark matter could have then acted like ice cubes to cool the hydrogen gas. If this is what we're seeing, it has huge implications for the hunt for dark matter.
If it's proven to be correct, it's a clue about what the dark matter is and how it interacts. So it would mean that the dark matter has an interaction, does collide with ordinary matter. And that by itself is very interesting, and particle physicists will explore that.
If Renan is correct, this would be the first time we detected dark matter through anything except its gravitational effects. It would also make dark matter much lighter than physicists expect. That could explain why no dark matter has been seen in experiments so far. For now, this is all speculation. But thankfully, physicists won't have to wait too long to corroborate the findings. Experiments in Europe and the United States, some involving much larger arrays of instruments, will soon study the radio signal in greater detail. Judd is eager for other teams to confirm their findings, but also to explore other exotic explanations for this very surprising result.
I think Renan's idea is incredibly exciting and would be fantastic if it's borne out as future observations continue to probe this feature. I'm sure additional ideas will be proposed by our colleagues as the results are published and they read more about it and have time to think.
That was Judd Bowman of Arizona State University talking to Lizzie Gibney. You also heard from Renan Bakana of Tel Aviv University. Their papers are both available now on nature.com/nature, and Lizzie's news piece is up at nature.com/news.
Still to come.